Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Right now, let's just take a bit more of a serious, have more of a serious conversation. There's an article on Voice of America comparing Vladimir Putin and Adolf Hitler. And joining me right now is Professor Joansi van Wyk, Professor of International Politics at the University of South Africa. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Katie. I'm fine. Thank you. I hope you too.
Yes. Very well. Thank you this morning. Beautiful day. I just had a look outside. Yes. Absolutely gorgeous. What are the similarities in leadership and character between Adolf Hitler and Vladimir Putin, and why are we even having this conversation?
Yes, thank you, Kathy. The reason why we have this is obviously since the events unfolded on 24th of February this year. But we must not forget that these events have a long lead up, basically since Putin took office in the early 2000s. Now, what we have seen is since he took office is this vision of a grand Russia, a great Russia. And that reminds us of the same kind of ideas that Adolf Hitler had when he started to rise in politics and assumed office in Germany. So the reason why we are making these analogies or comparisons is because we see this is a playbook from history that is almost repeating itself, especially in the European context. A strong leader that gets toxic advice, to use this morning's conversation, that has this idea of this grand idea of being invincible, closing the democratic space, but then also to see that he has the right to intervene in sovereign states, so-called, to get all of the peoples of his race, or what he regards then as his race, under his own power and political, what can one call it, in his territory. And of course, then the violence that goes along with it. Now, Hitler had a particular idea of exterminating Jews, which he of course did, and some of his cronies were trialed for that at Nuremberg. We have not seen the same kind of atrocities being recorded, although the process is of course underway. There has not been court cases where evidence can be tested, although there is enough already, but the legal process needs to proceed for that. But the violence, the lies, and the irrationality and the destruction that goes with this war in Ukraine reminds us, even our parents that may have lived through the war, of the similarities. And remember that similarities helps us to make sense of what we are experiencing. It gives us sort of an indication of where things are, where is it going. We know that things did not end well for Hitler, and there is a part of us that hopes the same for Putin, because we would like to think that leaders should be on the right side of history, not giving in to atrocities, or at least giving orders for atrocities. And it seems that this is a great turning point for the international community, Europe, but also for human rights. Remember that when Hitler came to power, when he committed suicide in 1945, at that time we did not have the crime of aggression, for example, or the crime of genocide, or the crime of apartheid, for example. These crimes were formulated and defined as a response to the actions and behavior of Adolf Hitler and the German Wehrmacht. So I suppose that when this war ends, we will have a new set of crimes that we can attribute, because we now see the use of new kinds of weapons that is akin to a weapon of mass destruction. The use of animals, for example, in the war effort. These are some of the things that I can foresee that will grab the attention of lawmakers in future. But the point is, people are dying. Whether we compare these two evil men or not, people are dying, and for reason.
Yancy, you know, it's interesting when you're talking about the comparisons. You know, personalities aside, if you look at how the United Nations, who's really the they're meant to be the custodians of peace on the planet. They are reacting in the same way that their predecessing organization, the League of Nations, reacted during World War II as well. They're not getting involved.
Yes, Kathy, that's a very good point. And you may have listened to President Zelensky's address to the United Nations Security Council earlier this week. And it is a fascinating speech to read if you have not listened to it, because this is exactly the point that he made, is that we are at a point in history where the international structures and institutions created to prevent war is no longer functioning. And in his speech, he made a number of suggestions and recommendations of how the United Nations should either change, or he proposed then an alternative international organization that should address issues of peace and terminate war and punish those that commit these heinous crimes that are in terms of the Rome Statute or even in terms of the UN Charter. So this is a defining moment, and President Zelensky has sent a wake-up call, as he have done consistently since the events in February, even before that. And what he has also done is to point a finger at the international community, saying, you say that you have had intelligence that Russia is not only engaged in a military operation in Belarus. You knew that, and yet you threw us under the bus. So this is not only an indictment of Russia and Putin, but really of the international community that knew this and that failed to act. And this will really stand as an accusatory finger against the West.
Yeah, at humanity. Yancy, that is where we're going to leave it. That's Professor Yancy van Wyk, Professor of International Politics at the University of South Africa. And what's so interesting is how the world seems to become Facebook and TikTok observers of what is happening in Ukraine.